The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind these enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today's date is September the 15th on a Thursday afternoon. A pretty warm day here in North Carolina. Do have a guest scheduled for you today. Every other Thursday, we do bring on our good friend and comrade in the movement, Kwabena Siddiqui Rasuli of Clear the Airways Project, and we talk to him every other Thursday about clearing the airways, as the name would suggest. What airways are we talking about? We're talking about the quote-unquote black radio stations that does not necessarily mean they're owned by black folks, but quote-unquote radio stations targeting black people, playing all kind of programming that is detrimental to the person who is taking that into their spirit, taking that into their ears, take it into their psyche, whatever name you want to come up with to describe how media does influence the behavior. By the way, on a side note, I was reading this right-wing website had published this article. I forget how I came across the article, but they were accusing the Obama administration of paying some behavioral scientists a certain amount of money. I think it maybe totaled less than $1 million, but paid these behavioral scientists or psychologists or whatnot on how to come up with ads to get people to participate in filling out some kind of government form. And so, but I couldn't see that it was anything funny about it, or, you know, it was just getting people to sign up for these different federal benefits. But the interesting part is they know that media does control people's minds, and they create media to help people do it. Again, you know, the only government funds the Black Talk Media Project has ever taken was to promote the 2010 census. And we didn't apply for the grant with the federal government, but another nonprofit that we had some collaborations with in the past had applied for a census grant, whatever they called it, and they got it. I don't know how much money they got, but we applied for a grant. They put out a call for, you know, anybody that wants to produce this or that to promote the 2010 census. So we did get it. We got the grant from them, but that it was to promote the census. We created media to promote the behavior of people filling out the census. And again, without going into what census participation means and what it means in terms of getting federal grants back invested in communities and all of that, but this is just more confirmation. I see it all the time. People, media does control our minds, whether we know it or not. It does influence us. It informs us. Even if it informs us, well, getting information can influence you, right? So we see the importance of clearing the airways. The Black Talk Media Project is in agreement with all the other organizations that's out there that this media, this music that they're calling it, particularly calling it hip-hop or rap, that is controlled by the major corporations in the industry, Time Warner, Warner Brothers, different names, you know, different names of these different corporations that these artists are signed to, and the type of music that they influence the artists themselves to create. Again, I've talked to enough people in the industry and artists themselves to know that pressure is put on them to make a particular type of music to project a particular type of image, and they know that this has an impact on people, especially young people, but even adults as well. We see all kind of media campaign ads on television now to do what? To persuade voters to vote for or against a particular presidential candidate, because they know media has power to influence people. Billions of dollars are being spent on this. So then don't tell us that, you know, it is that we're talking about some kind of outlandish conspiracy theory that has no basis in fact or science, when the evidence is right there in your face. It's right there in your face. So either to the good or to the detriment of an individual, depending upon the type of media they consume in, and depending upon the individual's susceptibility to outside, you know, influence on their decision making. And again, we all have become victims of it or have been victims of it, and so, you know, it's nothing to say bad about anybody who is influenced negatively. It's just the way things are. It's just the way things are. It's the way people are programmed. And so we got to deprogram people, like I heard a young lady say on the Code Breakers. We need a deprogramming program. And so this is part of that effort, deprogramming these radio stations of this murder music that they're putting out there. Now, this morning, as I was going through some of the news items that come to my email and check the news feeds, I find out that yet another famous black person has lost a family member to gun violence in the black community. So we got rapper Meek Mills, who has signed up some of the corporate music plantations that put out and encourage murder music. He's been affiliated with people like T.I. and so we know what kind of music T.I. has put out in the past. And his cousin, you know, I want to just give my condolences to the family of this person who was murdered in Philadelphia, not just him, because it was several victims over, I think, like a 4-day period, like 5 victims in a 4-day period in Philadelphia. And he was one of them, and apparently somebody shot him in the head. It was a possible robbery. I have a link to an article on Philly.com, and we'll talk about those details. But again, you know, I cannot help but make the connection. And so Meek Mills is broken up about it, as I would be too. If one of my family members was killed. And so he has put out a statement, and from what I recall, the thing that stood out to me and what he said about, you know, the death of his cousin is he has to try, or he has to help change the mindset of his young cousins and family members out there in the streets. So, I mean, he could be talking about the black community in general, you know, as we tend to use familiar terms like that to refer, and you know, but he's saying he got to change their mindset. So what does that mean? How is he going to do that? Does that mean a change in his music? And I'm going to admit to my ignorance on this one right here, because I don't listen to that type of music. You know, we have people like Brother Quabena who subject themselves to that kind of torture just so that they could document what's going out over the airwaves. So, you know, again, I can't speak enough on the sacrifices that many people are making to on this particular project in this people activity area. Now, let me see. I may need to call Brother Quabena. Thought maybe he would be calling in. Doesn't matter. Let me get him up on the phone. Again, you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. And after we speak with him, I'll go over, besides that sad news about Meek Mill's cousin being gunned down and other people being gunned down in Philly, I'll just go over some of the news of the day that we have posted in our new Black social media platform, BTR Community, which you can find it at btrcommunity.com. And any other news, I know there are some events coming up that's in the calendar in the community. Perhaps share some of those. But let's try to get Brother Quabena on the line here. Give him a buzz right quick. I did confirm that he was going to make his regular appearance. So let's get him on the line. Now, another thing. Okay, so
your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice assistant.
Okay, we will. Perhaps he got something going on. I'll try to hit him on Facebook. But another thing I think I failed to mention, if I did, apologies, but organizations, this is coming from Clear the Airways Project, organizations and movements throughout the U.S. are asking the people to turn off these killer radio stations until we win. And even then, that's a statement from Clear the Airways Project, and they are kicking off a turn off the radio campaign, which is a campaign aimed at sending a message to radio stations and the corporate sponsors of the murder music that targets urban populations in the United States. And so when we start looking at analyzing the problem, what's the problem? The problem is violence in certain areas within the United States behind these enemy lines of USA Inc. That's the problem. There's a myriad of problems that is related, like poverty. Poverty can lead to crime. Crime can often lead to violence, or violence is used in the commission of crimes because of poverty. But that isn't always the case. You know, some of these people who, let's just call them street pharmacists or street dealers or whatnot, people that we find to be behind some of these killings, I have seen behind the scenes of that lifestyle, and these people ain't living in poverty. And I think from my exposure, the lifestyle promotes that, you know, because you will often find the soundtrack to their lives as being this murder music. So I know that there's a connection. And for all the people out there in the mainstream that want to condemn these such acts and come up with racist terms like black on black crime and what have you, you don't want to question or challenge corporate America for also promoting this sort of behavior. Where does the responsibility lie? When they talk that, you know, it takes a village, most of the time they're not including the black community in that, because they're preying upon the black community for the modern day slave trade and human trafficking and the extra what would we call it, the taxation through ticket writing schemes of the slave catchers of the day. So they don't really view us as being part of their community, and a lot of these people don't care. They, you know, McDonald's might be giving them some kind of grant or something for their nonprofit or to their church, or has sponsored an event for them in the past. They don't want to speak out against Walmart and when they play these commercials, because when you play these commercials on these radio stations that has this murder music programming on it, you are endorsing it. In fact, you are supporting it, because that outlet, that station that is pumping this propaganda out to the community, it could not continue its operation without the funding. And where does this funding come from but the very corporations and businesses that advertise on their networks? So when we want to issue out condemnations of the person who pulled the trigger and the whole culture that exists in areas across the United States, but let's also consider the fact that music is part of that culture. And this culture, this music that's part of that culture, why it may have been created by some black kids in California calling themselves niggers with attitude, since, you know, they may have given birth to it, but white corporate music plantation grabbed a hold of it and took over it and made that the standard for all new artists. And then let's not also fail to include the majority of the people who was buying this murder music are white people, white middle class, upper class. It's all fun and games to them. It's all fun and games to them hearing these ghetto tales on you know, a murder and mayhem in the music, and what at their frat parties and what have you. It's all fun and games. But then you got people who take that music to heart, so to speak, and it becomes a way of life. And it contributes to the overall problem of criminality and particularly violence. So everybody has a role in it. Everybody has a hand in it. So it's not just, we can't just point out, you know, the people who are out there committing these sorts of senseless acts of violence without looking at the wider society role in that outcome, in promoting and producing that outcome. So let me see what time it is. I believe we will go into some of the news stories of the day. Something has Brother Kwabena tied up. Let me just send him a quick message, send him the telephone number. I know he knows the telephone number, but go ahead and send that message anyway. And if you have any news to report, any thoughts on what I've been discussing thus far, any thoughts on the killing of Meek Mill's cousin being shot in the head on the streets of Philly. Again, I'm going to plead my ignorance here. I'm not knowledgeable on his music, because I don't listen to those stations, but I can tell from what I've been reading on his Wikipedia page and seeing the corporations that he has contracts with and the other artists that he's affiliated with, and just, you know, just taking a general overview, he's had some trouble with the quote unquote law in his life. I'm not holding that against him, but that's a plus for the music industry. They like that type of stuff. They like people, they like to showcase people who have quote unquote trouble with the law, who carry weapons. And y'all know I'm for Second Amendment, I'm for self-defense and all of that. And so everybody make mistakes, so I'm not condemning him for any trouble that he may or may not have brought upon himself. I think he's still on probation involving guns and things of that nature. Again, I don't know his music. I don't know if he promotes, you know, killing in his music. I don't know if he promotes drug dealing in his music. I don't know if he calls black women or women in general bitches and hoes in his music. I'm pleading the fifth on that one because I really don't know. I can't answer that question. Well, it wouldn't be proper for me to plead the fifth because that means I don't want to incriminate myself. So I'm remaining silent, and I'm truly ignorant about his music. Truly, truly ignorant about it. But if you have anything, if you know his music, if you want to talk about this issue in general, you can certainly give us a call at 704-951-5030. That's the studio line. And the conference line is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032. Pound hit *6 and 1 if you would like to comment on these issues on air. Again, apologies. I'm hoping that Brother Kwabena isn't in a situation that he can't get out of, and that's why we haven't heard from him. But again, when we behind these enemy lines, I'm always concerned about our people, and when they don't make appointments and what have you. All right, let me go over just some of the news of the day. Before I do that, let me just go to the phone lines. We got some people on the line. Let's go to the first person in queue. That is area code 414. Thank you for calling in to Black Talk Radio News. What's on your mind? You have any thoughts for us today?
Yes, I do. Greetings, Brother Scotty. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Greetings to you, Brother Rob.
Just wanted to chime in. Send out my condolences to the family of the young man that was murdered. I'm getting an echo. Can you hear the echo?
Yes, I've been having some issues with our line, but if you keep talking, it will go away.
Okay. Just wanted to send out my condolences to the family of the young man that was murdered, Meek Mill cousin. And just from my observation, being in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, considered one of the, I guess, quote unquote, rougher spots right now, and coming from a background, was born in the 80s and grew up in the 90s, so I really grew up in that culture. Grew up listening to quote unquote murder music, and my actions eventually led me to the penitentiary. And I just wanted to chime in and say that, this music, this murder music that's out here, it's very real. And, the culture that's surrounding it is very real. In my observation, it's a culture that has been created because it's a lot of black males who are over the age of 21 who cannot provide for themselves. And then just a question I'm throwing out there, so what is a black male supposed to do when he can barely take care of himself, and luckily I don't indulge in criminal activity, quote unquote criminal activity, anymore. But at the same time, I would be lying if I didn't say, I want to choose my words carefully.
Take your time.
But right now at this point, I'm in that position. You understand what I'm saying? Where I can't take care of myself, and along with that, I have a severe injury that I'm not being helped with, and I have quote unquote Obama insurance. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like I wake up every day and ask myself, like, what am I supposed to do? You understand what I'm saying? And being a older male, I make better decisions now. You understand what I'm saying? But I would really be lying if I just wouldn't say, like, man, if other black males are living that reality, man. It's just so sad, man. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to chime in with that, you know, okay. Just because, you know, we see this whole thing, you know, everywhere, like, you know, in all of, quote-unquote, the 50 states, you can go and you see people of, quote-unquote, Indian descent with liquor stores, gas stations, convenience stores. You understand what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, man, how can the same thing be going on everywhere you go? And I think it was a documentary where Tupac was in, I think it was made in, I want to say, 94, 95. I don't know if anybody else is familiar with that, but he was standing in the gun range, and he said, man, you know, the thing that I see that black males have in common in all of these 50 states is just drug crap. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I'll end my statement with that. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. We are joined by Brother Quabena. Before we bring Brother Quabena on, let me just address what the caller just said. I also lived in that culture for a certain time. I would have to take you back to 1978 and 79. Now, this was before the introduction of rap music, or excuse me, not rap music, but niggas with attitude, NWA, gangster rap music, murder music. This was before the introduction. And so my participation in it as an 11-year-old, 12-year-old was my introduction to that life was because of I was directly recruited into that life with other young boys by males, black males who were like in their 20s, early 30s, you know, on up. I guess the latter, this was like a major organization. And so I saw violence back then. There were shootouts. My little brother almost got shot and what have you. So that was my first introduction to that culture. Then my second introduction to that culture was because, like you said, I wasn't able to provide for my family. And so, yes, I have slung out there in the streets and what have you, but I usually stuck to cannabis and things of that nature. But I have said before on this program, I'm not condemning anybody out there that's a drug dealer. I don't condone the 70% of the prisoners in the United States who are in there for nonviolent so-called drug crimes, because what are you going to do? Okay, especially as a black man, that's a strike against you. And then, you know, depending upon the economy, and even if you can find a job, oftentimes that ain't enough to provide for yourself, let alone a family. So what are you to do? They do have this difficult choice. Myself, I was confronted with that. And so before I allow myself to starve, or before I allow my family to starve or be homeless and living out of the street, I'm gonna do what I have to do. That's why I don't pass judgment on sex workers either. I don't call them hoes or I don't disrespect them, because I know the vast majority of them don't want to live in that life. And when I was slinging cannabis, I did not want to live that life, man. You had to worry about people, home invasions, people robbing you and things. And nobody really wants to do it that I came across in it. But then we do have some who have fallen under the spell of mainstream media put out by Hollywood, put out over these terrestrial airways, where they glorify the quote-unquote life and they promote violence and what have you. And so, I mean, there's so many factors into this, but I just want to let you know, Rob, I've been there. I feel you. I totally understand it. That's why I'm not passing judgment. What we need to do, and we need to also bring these cats out here in that culture to the table, in my opinion. Now, and come on, let's not us be hypocrites or like, you know, we so good, like we ain't never been out there in them streets, and we just have to teach them a more codified way. To me, it's a trade-off. want to stop the violence, but at the same time, you know, I ain't trying to stop adults from doing anything that they consent to engage in. Okay, that's the backbone of slavery in this country, is putting people in prison who, whether or not we agree with the substances that they using, and again, cannabis, stuff like that, been around for thousands of years, been in use or what have you, but we don't want the violence, so there's got to be a codified way. Now, I'm going to say this, and I got to pick up one more call and bring Brother Kwabena in. I done some research. I only came across a little bit of material, not enough for me to draw some conclusions, but there seems to be some suggestions that the Black Panther Party in the 60s came to some sort of understanding with drug dealers in the community that they wouldn't interfere with them as long as they wasn't out there on the corner selling, long as they wasn't selling the kids, long as they wasn't engaging in violence, long as they was doing their adult business behind closed doors and not being all out in the streets with it and a nuisance to the community. So that was the compromise that I read about. Again, I have only found one source that puts this out there, but I had also asked the question, well, how were they funding all of these survival programs that they had? And there has been some behind the scenes suggestion that they was getting it from the drug dealers. They were getting it from the drug dealers. And so let's just be real about these things. Now, again, I'm not saying that's true, that the Black Panther Party did it, but if they did, I do see the logic in that strategy. If we're trying to stop all these people from being killed, we know we ain't the ones bringing the dope in and out the country. Obviously, we can't stop grown folks from consuming stuff that they want to consume. But again, let's take it back to the music. The music is promoting the use of these sort of substances and what have you. So this is a very complex problem, and I'm open to all sorts of strategies, solutions, information, and what have you. Let me go to 754. You've been hanging on patiently. Go ahead with your question or comment as we get ready to bring in Brother Kwabena, who's going to tell us about the Turn Off the Radio campaign.
No problem. What's going on, Scotty? It's Sin from South Florida checking in.
Hey, what's going on, Sin?
First thing I want to say is the parent people of this world are the ultimate adaptant to me. Because when you go after animals, you can extinct them. When you go after Black people, it seems like for centuries that's what they've been doing, they still cannot wipe us out. With the music that's on, right, that, you know, murder music, what we call it, you know, I'm a victim of making it, you know what I mean? To me, murder music is like a audio newspaper, kind of informative thing to white people. And that, in my eyes, once they grabbed on to gangster rap, that was their intentions from then on, to hear what was going on with what they started with, putting drugs in our neighborhoods, how it was tearing us up, you know, just the different things that was going on, the murders, the...
You mean like entertainment, seeing it was entertainment for them?
Exactly. Like, it was that was the motive the whole time. My mind says, because like you said, the people that buy this music the most are white people. The people that, like, celebrate this music the most in a way of, you know, just sheer entertainment is white people. Us, on the other hand, I think I was talking to you before about, you know, when I was out there too, and I would hear Jeezy, and it would motivate me to go harder, to stay up, to make more money, because I knew that's how I had to survive. And you get tired out there. No, like you said, nobody wants... A lot of people that are in this life don't want to live this life. But in order to survive, everything else has been, like, kind of taken away from you. So that's what you left with. So you run with it. To kind of give you some, like, a little background on Meek Mill's, half of a bar out of one of his songs, half of a bar, he says, fuck this money, fuck these hoes, same gear for a week, I'm like, fuck these clothes. He also is, like you said, he signed the MMG with Rick Ross and a couple other rappers, Wale, and it's the same, it's that same lifestyle, the fast money, the, you know, degradation of women, especially black women, murder, gun toting, just all that type of stuff. And I don't like that it's the way it is, but I know why he's doing that. I know why all the majority of them do it. I can give you a list, and I can hear in what they're saying, they're getting paid to do it. They got paid to sell drugs and to live that life and to turn, you know, always 25-8. You got to watch for the police. You got to watch for jackers and all this type of stuff. They gave them a way out. So they taking the way out, not realizing the harm that they're doing until something like this happens. And this isn't the first time that somebody close to Meek Mill has been slain in the street. He brought out a rapper a couple years ago. He brought out a young man named, I forget his real name, but they call him Lil Snoop. And, you know, right before a guy had talent, you know, like all of us, got talent, man, with that music, just pure talent. About, I don't know, he had made some mixtapes, and right when he was just about to get into, you know, the entertainment, the industry, not the underground, but the mainstream part of it, he got killed at a dice game in Philly.
I remember that.
Right. It's the same thing. And all it is to me is a report, not a report card, but a audio report to white people. Oh, yeah, it's still going down like this. It's still the same thing. If I'm not mistaken, a couple months ago, this was the same thing going on in Chicago. It's still going on, but like a rash in every weekend, it's like a rash of killings. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And Scotty, I tell you, man, down here in South Florida, there are a lot of people, particularly black people and melanated people, period, that are dying, overdosing, getting shot and stuff like that, and you never hear about it. So I you know, of course, you know, I wanted to chime in because I'm online, but, man, this is tragic. Oh, the young man's name is Angelo Colon. That was
yes, that's
down.
It. I just pulled up the article, Angelo Colon, mm-hmm. 21 years old, and he was killed Tuesday night.
21 years old, a baby.
Mm-hmm. Killed two. Shot in the head, man. Shot in the head on the street.
Yep.
Outside a restaurant. Just standing around. So.
And do you see how much this thing goes on? Yeah. When you was out there, Scotty, in 78, I was born. That's the year I was born.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't as prevalent as it is now, but that's when I do recall that starting. You know, we was living that life before that movie, or I was exposed to that life before the movie. What was it? Colors came out, I think, the gang life on the West Coast. In Detroit.
In 81, I think it came out.
Yeah, in Detroit, I remember that life. That was like what we were doing in Detroit in 78, 79. But, Sim, I don't want to keep our guests waiting.
I forgot Brother Kwamina.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I'm going to go back in the queue, Scott, and I'll be listening.
Okay, all right, thank you. We passed the halfway.
Q&A queue is cleared.
Halfway mark. Let me just take a quick station identification break, and then when we come back, we got Brother Kwamina on the line representing Clear the Airways Project, who is going to tell us about this national campaign to turn off the radio, turn off that killer music that we've been discussing during today's program. You listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
I put the
Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Again, that victim, his name was Angelo Colon, and he was one of four people that was killed Tuesday in Philadelphia. So condolences out to the Colon family and the family of these other four victims that occurred Tuesday night in Philly. As I stated, we got Brother Kwame to Clear the Airways Project on with us. Thanks for hanging on, bro. I was kind of concerned about you because I knew you were going to be on today. And when I didn't hear from you, I was like, I hope the slave catchers ain't then snatched up Brother Kwabena.
No, not yet, man. We know they out there. I'm in Orlando, so I was like tripping on the time. So that I got kind of confused with the time. I apologize.
Oh, okay. No problem.
But I've been listening in for a minute, so it looked like some good, intriguing, pertinent talk that's being dealt with concerning what's going on, because there's so much going on right now in terms of resistance, in terms of ignorance being shown in hip-hop, people's heads, hopefully coming out of the sand about what's going on, man. So, yeah. So, now I'm here with you, brother.
All right. Now, you and some of the other organizations that Clear the Airways Project works with, like CMOTEP and Rage Against the Ratchet, and so you're about to launch a Turn Off the Radio campaign, or has it launched already? Can you tell us about that and give us some more information? I've shared it with our listeners thus far, as you had wrote on the Clear the Airways Project's social media page on Facebook. Organizations and movements throughout the U.S. are asking the people to turn off these killer radio stations until we win, and even then. So again, how did this come about? Give us the details and the particulars.
There's so many groups and organizations around the country who are tired of this mass media onslaught on our children that's been going on for so long. And so we're just coming together and just saying it's time to put it into it. You know, we had a chance to go to a CMOTEP meeting up in Queens, New York a couple months ago, and we hooked up with some brothers and sisters from different organizations, and they were like, man, you know, they're working on this piece about this garbage toxic fast food that's marketed to young Africans or the African people all around this country too, which is another but related story about this killer food that's going to it's being marketed to us. So they understood the work that we were doing, specifically targeting McDonald's, because McDonald's is pretty much the number three sponsor in all black media, according to our just recent ancestor, George Curry. But they're pretty much on these radio stations, which we monitor. They're like number one. And so we've been going at McDonald's for a while now, saying, look, y'all pull y'all commercials. I mean, I go back to that example of Rush Limbaugh that we always share, when he was on the radio calling Sandra Fluke all kind of sluts. And he lost 13 sponsors in a matter of minutes. In a matter of a couple of days, he lost 13 sponsors. But on our daughters, just as important as Sandra Fluke, and these radio stations call our daughters, our mamas, our grandmothers, our sisters, B's and H's constantly. They don't stop. They rap about killing the children and the parents of our women constantly. And McDonald's, right after McDonald's commercial. So we've been at McDonald's like, come on, y'all need to stop buying commercials on these stations. And so demonstrating, having meetings with them, sending letters, calling the corporate headquarters, getting with the black McDonald's operators, and so no response. And so this group, this coalition, is pretty much the National Black Leadership Alliance. Brother Bob Law, who's veteran of Black Talk Radio, speaking of Black Talk Radio, and legendary Black Bob Law, he's working with us, man, and these other groups are working with us. We got people out of Kansas City, Detroit, St. Louis, Alabama, Florida, D.C., New York, Los Angeles, Chicago. It's a nationwide coalition to get this crap off the air by the end of the year, and that's too damn long. That's too long. And so on October 15th, we already launched it now, but we're pretty much saying on that day it's going to be direct action all around the country.
So that's 30 days from now. So that just give people time. They give us time to get the word out, you know, to the listening audiences. And so, you know, the alternative black media, we got an audience. We're not reaching millions and millions and millions of people, but enough to make a difference or impact, I feel, if we all promote this, you know. And speaking of that, I do want to mention the ongoing national prison strikes that are going on, because all of this is connected. You know, some of these brothers and sisters are in these prisons doing the very things that corporate media sponsors on these radio stations, promoting, encouraging this type of behavior, endorsing these type of lifestyles. And so, you know, that's part of that school to prison pipeline. And right now there's a historic nationwide strike against prison slavery, and I see that as being connected. So, but taking it back to turn off the radio, so I imagine also asking people, well, you know, bro, most of our listening audience don't turn on that type of music anyway. So, but we gotta, I guess, you know, do what we can to affect them. So what are some of the ways? What are there going to be some demonstrations outside of McDonald's and other corporate sponsors of the music?
Yeah, we're having press conferences that week leading up to the 15th, mainly outside of radio stations and other locations where we're getting the press, all press, to come in and let them know what's going on. And then on that day, the 15th, we're actually going to be having some direct action, mainly at McDonald's. So we'll be sharing more information as we get closer. But, you know, brother, if the thing is turn off killer radio. You know, y'all just talked about it again. These radio stations are playing killer music. I mean, but in Chicago, and the brother who was the previous caller just talked about it. Man, it's crazy in Chicago. He talked about the weekends. No, it's almost like every day. I mean, it's like a few Mondays ago, we had, I think it was 9 people killed, 19 shot. And so that was on a Monday. And Monday, I think the Monday before Labor Day. Labor Day weekend, we had a peace surge out there. Was Philip Jackson with the Black Star Project decided that we're going to have this peace surge in response to the police saying we're going to not do this extra overtime. We're going to let them purge each other. So he organized a peace surge. And so, man, I'm telling you, as of Monday morning, we were in contact, talked to Brother Jackson, and we were cautiously optimistic because only 20-some people got shot and only like 3 were killed. By the time Labor Day was over, it was up to 50-something shot and either 11 or 13 killed.
Wow.
So the numbers just as bad as that last summer. But that morning, I monitor these stations. And so that morning on iHeart, we used to be Clear Channels, WGCI in Chicago, where, by the way, Clear Channel owns 8 stations in Chicago, all the stations that target Africans, no matter what age, in the second city with the second largest population of African people in the United States. All the major stations that target our people, including the talk show station, are owned by Europeans. That's one of the major problems right there.
And major.
So this station, huh?
I said that's a major problem.
That's a major problem. And so they control they program with African children here. So this is what they were programming for our children. Like I said, they own 8 stations. They own one for young white children, which is called Kiss FM. They own one for young Africans called WGCI. Every time our white station gets a violence reference, we get 50. So it's a 50-to-1 ratio of violence on a station that WGCI owns for a target group of a certain age, that's for white children, and one for African children. We get 50 violent references to everyone they get. When it comes to sexually explicit, we get 25 to everyone that they get. Mm-hmm. And so on that morning, I'm hearing this old song by Waka Flocka Flame. It's a killer anthem called Do It. It's titled Oh Let's Do It, but it's pronounced Oh You Do It. I influence. He's just straight up telling you he influences. He shoots in your head. Your brains are coming out of your head on the ground, and he asks you a question. How does that feel? That's how ignorant that is. But they're playing a song. It's about 10 years old now. They're playing that on Labor Day morning in Chicago, where we got all this killing going on.
Right, labor. Yeah, get them set for the weekend when all the alcohol gonna be flowing on this quote unquote holiday at these cookouts and gatherings and what have you. And let's just put this subliminal in his mind. Yeah.
Monday morning, Labor Day morning, and then I flip over to the other Crawford broadcast station, Power 19.3, which is the number one station for young Africans in Chicago. And this is what they're playing. They're playing the same song we talked about. I know Migos is one of the rappers in there. Where the rapper says, chopper, decapitate him, blow his face off. And they don't edit none of that because there's no curse words in there. Chopper, which is a gun, we all know, decapitate him, and blow his face off. That's what they're playing on early Labor Day morning. European on Power 92.3, specifically charging, targeting young Africans with messages like that. And early on that song, they say, I have yo ho on the leash. They repeat that three times. They also repeat that I'll F yo ho and pay her bill, which to us is also violent. If I was talking to the sister who was at our last forum in Chicago on the Black Lives Matter and hip hop, her daddy was a police officer. I said, now if your daddy saw somebody with his daughter on the leash, what would he do? What would he do? It's violent. Why are you pushing that crap? So, well, we're saying we got to turn off this killer radio. And not only do we have to turn it off, we have to demand that they turn it off. And so that's what we're doing, bro, on the 15th of October. And up until that time, in preparation for it, we got to get as many people with us as possible, because it shouldn't be such a struggle to have this crap taken off the air. Brother Law points out that...
Yeah, go ahead.
You replace that N-word. You replace that N-bomb with... and you and I talked about this, too, with Jew. Any other race of people, or with any other derogatory term used for a people, then you would not have this much amount of problem getting that crap off the air. If you replace the N-word with the word dog, a cat, you would be outraged. People would be outraged around this country. So yeah, you could do this to us? Mm-hmm. Nah, later for that. It's time for this to end.
I most certainly agree. You know, I was just sitting here thinking, just glad to hear that the coalition and the organizations that are working on this issue are growing. But where are the teachers' unions at? Where are these parent-teacher associations at? You know, because I was sitting here earlier, Brother Kwabena, again, this is something I identified when my children were in public school around here. And I live in a predominantly white rural community, you know, a suburb of Charlotte. Outside of Charlotte, you know, but I remember when they were in high school, and I would go to like my daughter would play volleyball or whatever sport, basketball they were playing. Even when they were in junior high, they were playing the very type of music that we're talking about. This is like during the halftime. Of course, they'll play the radio clean version and what have you, but that's still the same as what they putting on the radio. Now, this is predominantly white people that's playing this type of music as entertainment during their half times. And I'm like, you know, again, that goes to the earlier thing where I was saying that it's a majority of white people who buy this type of content and what have you. And so these teachers' associations, I mean, college professors, I mean, psychiatrists, sociologists, you know, black, whether they black or not, they should see the dangers in this type of programming on the public airwaves. We're not talking about censorship, because on the internet, you could go and say in whatever you want to say through XM radio or satellite radio. People pay for that. So it's not like you're trying to sanitize the entire, you know, again, grown people can consume what grown people want to consume. But see, when you're targeting our young people, though, that's crossing the line, in my opinion, Brother Kwabena. And that is exactly what I see this as being, as a target of our young people.
That's exactly what it is. And it's part of, it ain't know exactly what they're doing, man. It's psychological warfare being pushing the people. And it's been going on for so long, but it's just part of it right now, which is so pervasive, man. And just this week in the news, you know, in terms of Slop Hop, three Slop Hop artists are just recently out. Now Slay Z is out here talking about the war on drugs has been a mistake or whatever. He has some commentary that he has about that just came out. Tip or T.I. is just now talking about he has a video out, which may be a good video. I got to look at it, that reverses who's getting shot by these police. Black people shooting white folks is what he has on video from the clip I saw. But he's on here giving the same old 25-year-old commentary as a statement that P.E. gave about how hip-hop is explaining what's going on in the community. He's doing that 25 years later while he continues to write and rap and be on collaborations with artists who are just so ratchet and violent. You know, so he's doing the same old thing while Dobie and a sister out of Montgomery, Alabama, who were killed, dealing with that, while his young brother was killed at his concert in New York earlier this summer, dealing with that. So, and then you got Lil Stane on these, talking about he don't know what racism is. Ain't been, and you know, come on, man. It's but
yeah,
these are the,
I saw that.
The tokens that they put to our people.
Yeah, he said Lil Stane, for those that don't know, that's Lil Wayne. He said that racism don't exist because white people buy his music. So, again, there's another acknowledgement that it's mostly white people. White people, why y'all keep buying this garbage? Okay, I'm the majority. Why y'all allow y'all children to listen to this garbage? What's going on there? But you want to talk about black-on-black crime and say, you know, all the racist things that you say, but, okay, why are you funding this type of propaganda? Because perhaps you know exactly what it's doing. I don't know. I can't explain that.
I know why. It's a modern day minstrel show to them. They look at it and laugh. They look at it and like we pointed out with the shooting of Laquan McDonald. You know, he did the same thing that Bobby Smurder. Maybe he was the Bobby Smurder. Bobby Smurder said first line of that song about Hot End. Who, by the way, he just, I guess, pleaded out or something about the murder he snitched on himself about, but in that song Hot End, first thing he says is how he shoot the end and he spin around, twirl around and fall out. If you look at the video of Laquan McDonald getting shot by that police, by that pig, he shoots him and the first thing he does is twirls around and falls out. Then he shoots him 15 more times, so that maybe he listened to the music. So they listen to the music, and then when it comes time to deal with you out there, or when you're trying to get a job at a certain area, or if you're in society, or if you're a policeman, you see this, you treat them like what you've been hearing on this ratchet music. If other than that, they're listening to it, laughing at you. But like your last caller just said, we internalizing that crap, and we go out and disrespect each other and shoot and kill each other because that's what the music is saying. The music is saying shoot them in the back. The music is saying if you mess with me, I'm going to get your whole MS and family. If I don't like you, I'm going to kill you. Instead, if I don't like you, I'm going to stay away from you or try to make some changes. I'm going to bang, bang, bang you. And that's sponsored by Jimmy Iovine. You know, that's Chief Keef sponsored by Jimmy Iovine. And we're not letting people like L.A. Reid and your ass off the hook either for sponsoring Bobby Smurder. But we know, and there's Epic Records behind him with that. So, bro, it's just crazy, man, what's going on. But we say it's time to end it. And so we're coming together with brothers and sisters, like I said, all around the country. And we it's time to end it. FCC, and we always talk about that, has these regulations. You cannot play profane and indecent music between the hours of 6 and 10 because we have to make sure we have a safe harbor for our children under 18. We have to have a safe harbor for them on these radio stations. So that is prohibited. And obscene music is prohibitive all the time. It's not protected by the First Amendment, by that freedom of speech. It's not protected by that. And so Now Protest, which is an excellent new web portal that deals with protests all around the world, they hooked up a Clear the Airways project, and there's a link where you go. You should read whatever you're going to send anybody, but read it. But when you get ready to send a letter to the chairperson of the FCC demanding that they follow their own policy, you just click one button, boom. Your favorite email address, the address of the FCC chair, you know, make sure you read it again because you've got to be on point with it. And then click OK and send it right to the chair of the FCC. And so we got to start doing things like that and monitor what your children listen to. Check these economic sanctions on these corporations that sponsor that crap and let them know why.
Right,
that's
right.
What we got to do, bro. We got to come together and put an end to this crap. They're not going to do it unless we make them do it.
I want to just read what Meek Mill said on Instagram mourning the death of his cousin. Again, the young man who was shot just standing outside a restaurant talking to another person shot in the back of the head, Angelo Colon. Meek Mills, I guess his nickname is Low. So this is what Meek Mills put out on Instagram. Meek Mill, damn Low, watching my family die to these Philly streets. Probation is the only thing that got me tied to coming back here so frequent. My mission is to save my family from these streets and change the mind frame of all my little cousins growing up in it. Rest in peace, Low. Hurt me to see you in this same spot, lifeless. So you could read a whole lot into that, and I would love to interview him and get him to expand on that, because is he just talking about his little cousins growing up in the street, do he, what, is he going to try to get them jobs, give them secure, you know, let them work security, and or is he going to consider the type of propaganda, the murder music that he's making and a part of that's being put out here in the streets, because that is how they get into that mind frame, Mr. Mills. So I think he needs to be taken up on that. How do you plan to save your family from these streets and change the mind frame? How you going to change people's mind frame? It's got to be change the programming. Brother Quabner, as we get ready to wrap up, did you have any closing thoughts? Brother Quabner?
I'm here. I just think about people like Meek Mill and the type of music that he puts out there. I'm fitting to kill ends in the building. Amen. You know, Amen. It's a song called Amen that they play constantly on these radio stations that the children just hear all the time. And it's telling us to kill each other. He's talking about, and then he's using sacrilege along with it. I mean, dude, I mean, you can't have it both ways. It's like Lil Stain, you know, he's worried about his cousins and his family. Like Lil Stain the other day, he talked about his children. Them the ones I'm worried about, that's it. No, you got to be more like Common. Not just my kids, I want the best for his. You know, you got to be like, when we're dealing with this Clear the Airways project and these other things, man, you got to deal with, you know, it's more than just us. It's more than just me. It's about us. We got to get rid of that selfishness. Out here in Orlando, man, working with Rage Against the Ratchet, they hooked up with this sister out here, man, Sister Candace, and this thing called What a Rhyme. And she's dealing with these children who have been child prostitutes. And she deals with the ones who are out of that now, counseling them and dealing with victims and perpetrators. And the common denominator that she has found out is why she's dealing with What a Rhyme is the music. They've been listening to this ratchet music that's been encouraging them to disrespect each other and to be free with, you know, that's, it's a problem.
To be sexually promiscuous.
We know it's a problem, but we got to do something about it.
Right, right. Well, again, thanks, Brother Quabner. I always look forward to hearing from you every other week, but you know if there's something pertinent and you need to come on the airwaves and talk to the Black Talk Radio listening audience, I'm just a phone call away. But I'm definitely want to have, we will be talking to you again before the launch of the Turn Off the Radio campaign. But thanks again.
Turn off Killer Radio. Yes, brother. Hopefully, and check out, get more information on Clear the Airwaves Project Facebook page. And hopefully you'll get Brother Law on there soon too, Brother Bob Law.
All right. Well, be safe out there behind these enemy lines, Brother Quabner.
You too, Brother Scotty. Appreciate you, man.
All right. Peace.
Peace.
All right. There was Brother Quabner Rasuli of Clear the Airways Project. Love the work that he and others in similar organizations, because it is very, very, their work is very, very important. Our work is very, very important. Again, I peeped it like a light bulb or a nuclear explosion in my brain when I watched Malcolm X in 2008 on this video talking about the power of media, which then led me to just research more what he said about the media. And I just came to the same conclusion that he came to, that media is the most powerful entity on the face of the planet, because it controls the minds of the masses, make the innocent look guilty and the guilty look innocent. So, but I charge these corporations, I charge the U.S. government, I charge these local governments, I charge these politicians, I charge all of these corporations, I charge the music industry, I charge these rappers as guilty. They guilty and poison the minds of the masses with this murder music. Just thank God that it doesn't have the same impact on everybody, or we might be seeing casualties in the street much higher than what we're seeing now. So again, this work is very, very important. We have to report it, but more than that, as Brother Quabner talked about, Clear Channel, which is now iHeart Media or iHeart Radio, have, he said that they own 8 radio stations in Chicago. See, that's the max. When he said that, the first thing my mind went to was the 1996 Telecommunications Act, which was a legislation that was introduced into Congress and passed Congress by the Republicans and signed into law by Bill Clinton. Prior to the passage of the 1996 Telecommunications Act, the most any one corporation, any one entity, business entity could own in one market, I believe, was only 2 to 3 stations, I believe. But that removed it. That removed that limitation, and they opened it up. They could own a maximum of 8 stations in one market, like Chicago would be called a market. And that squeezed out independent on black radio. And then the only black radio that was left was Kathy Hughes' radio empire. You know, that's Radio 1, News 1, as she's ventured into television and other stuff like that. And so they start playing the murder music, too, and promoting that type of stuff because they want to keep getting the ads from the white corporations that seem to have an agenda of putting this, keeping this programming on our stations targeting us. So 1996 Telecommunications Act, since its passage, it has consolidated all of the media that is out there in the world being produced under 6 media giants, with Clear Channel, aka iHeartRadio, being one of those, and they control 90% of what we read, watch, and listen to. And that's according to an infographic that was created by Jason at Frugal Dad. And it shows that almost all media, again, is not, it's only controlled by a few corporations, about 6 of them. They control everything. That's just too much power to have. If you got the most powerful entity on the face of the planet and you control 90% of the media, man, no wonder things are the way they are. No wonder so many people are misinformed about what's really going on. No wonder we see all this degenerate type media being coming out of Hollywood, coming over the television, coming over your radios. It's by design, people. It's by design. Let me just share a little bit more information. Also, these radio stations or corporations were not allowed to own no more than 40 radio stations nationwide. And so, of course, none of these laws were enforced, just like the FCC don't enforce the rules on obscene, degenerate content on public radios, FCC licensed stations. Just like they don't enforce those rules, they haven't been enforcing these other rules. And so now you got like a company like Clear Channel or iHeartRadio now owning, you know, hundreds of stations. I don't have the exact number. Well, no, not just hundreds, over a thousand, according to some information I have. They own about 1,200 stations nationwide. Now, the FCC used to forbid them from owning any corporation over 40 stations. Now they own over 1,200. So again, you know, watching Malcolm X talk about this and coming to the realization that he's on to something in terms of how people are influenced, how their behaviors are manipulated, that is when the Black Talk Media Project was created, to tackle a myriad of problems as it pertains to media that's targeting black people. So anyway, that I don't really have anything else to share. Thursdays, 6:00 p.m. Eastern time, normally Tando Radio Show comes on, but that program has been canceled for today. I think Brother Davis will take over for Brother Dave, who is taking care of family business, but I think they will be on air tomorrow, Friday. I will get in touch with Sister Cece and Brother Robert to see what's up with Blacks in Business Radio, which normally comes on Thursday nights at 8:00 p.m. But this is the conclusion of Black Talk Radio News. I want to thank the callers. I want to thank Brother Quabner for chiming in on the topics for today. Again, I want to give my condolences out to the family of this young man who was killed, Meek Mill's cousin. Want to send my condolences out also to the other victims and to all the victims nationwide, in fact, internationally. Just too much death on this planet, and a lot of it is avoidable, in my opinion, is very avoidable. So, with that said, recognize the fact that we live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. There is a historic nationwide rebellion against slavery in this country going on the prison plantations. Find out more about it by just Googling something like National Prison Strike, or going on social media and using the hashtag Prison Strike and look up the information and share the information. Don't let them disappear, our people who are victims of modern day slavery and human trafficking, and act like they don't exist. I have been seeing some of the local outlets who are kind of forced to cover the story, but there should be much, 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 much more coverage of this historic rebellion against slavery in this country than there is. So with that, knowing that you live in a place that is practicing slavery, and we're seeing extrajudicial murders in the street and slave catchers not being held accountable, you have to be careful as you move behind these enemy lines. You have to be strategic. You have to have awareness skills, and that is so you can minimize yourself or one of your loved ones from being a casualty. But there is always going to be collateral damage. So I also want people to recognize we can't live in fear, and that we have to step up. If we want a better world, then we got to be willing to risk our lives for it. So we need to end slavery in this country, and I challenge each and everyone hearing my voice right now to become abolitionists. Peace and blessings to all.